Happy Christmas, Soul Sisters.
Merry Christmas. I attended Georgie's show, which I'm sure many of you did as well, Let It Glow in the National Concert Hall. And I wanted to shout out really loud, Christmas Crawford!
I have officially turned into Christmas Crawford. You will be delighted to hear that, Soul Sister.
What is Christmassy about today other than this?
Well, we're into December, the Christmas. Do you know what I love? I love seeing all the Christmas trees on the roofs of cars driving past.
The best.
It's just a very merry car. So we have our Christmas tree. We're putting it up. This podcast is going out on Tuesday. We're putting it up today. So I'm very excited about that. Are you feeling a bit Christmassy?
Really Christmassy. So I came home for the weekend in order to go and see your show and to see my folks. And we had a lovely weekend where we really felt like we were getting into the Christmas festivities. Like we were just admiring the lights and making plans for the big day. And yeah, I am actually really looking forward to it this year.
Welcome to Soul Sisters with me, Georgie Crawford.
And me, Claire Solan.
The podcast that guarantees plenty of laughs and lovely white smiles thanks to our favourite toothpaste, Colgate Max White Ultra. Colgate Max White Ultra's whitening technology has been backed by science and dental professionals as a product that actually works. It will help you to feel radiant, confident and empowered in those important life moments where you want to smile like you mean it.
Oh, you had the whole National Concert Hall smiling away there yesterday.
Oh, it was so good to actually see so many smiling faces. You know, it's our fourth time in the concert hall. Everybody who knows me said that I was different at this show.
Yeah.
I felt a little bit more confident. And I spoke at the concert hall about hanging up my coat this year. And just for anybody heading into Christmas, what hanging up your coat is basically, so back in the day when our parents or grandparents would come home and they'd come in the door and hang up their coat, like what did that symbolize for us? It symbolized the end of the working day. And I came up with this a couple of months ago because I noticed that like the world was creeping in. There's no connection tool to the next part of our day anymore. It all just blurs into one. So I was speaking in the concert hall about hanging up your coat and actually, can you do that for yourself and all that it can bring to your life? So we were, myself and Jamie were saying that once the show is over, that I can, I suppose, hang up my coat for Christmas and start planning joy, putting fun things into the diary in an effort to switch off and unwind over Christmas. So I can't wait to do that.
It made a lot of sense to me when you were making the point that like back in the 80s and 90s, when most of us were growing up, our parents came in, hung up their coats, closed the door and left the world outside. And now with the dawn of the interweb, sure Jesus, we haven't a minute.
Yeah. So I guess for me this year, I leaned into human connection in a big way. And I've been getting messages, you know, sporadically over the year from people being like, are you okay? Where are you? A little bit. And this year, I was like, I need to get out and run with people. I need to connect with people. So the joy for me this year has been running shoulder to shoulder with the community. I suppose I was able to get there by hanging up my coat and not being so hard on myself, getting out of my head, dropping my shoulders a little bit, not holding on to the outcome so tightly, trusting life. And instead of sitting around worrying about it in freeze mode, I just leaned in to human connection. I'm such a different person at the end of the year.
It makes so much sense to me. And I think in the last couple of weeks, I've been talking about going to events and taking myself out of my home instead of, you know, squirreling away. And that's what we are. Like we are creatures of who thrive in bonding situations, and you can't bond with your device. You can't bond with your TV. Like you can't, you can bond with yourself, but actually, like you were saying yesterday at the show, going out, like, you know, 50 to 100 people strong, walking the streets of New York, running the streets of Chicago, you know, getting into Lake Michigan, doing Ring a Ring a Rosie, like taking you back to your childlike self, taking you back to using your body in ways that we, like, we just stop running around the place and climbing trees and doing silly things when we get into adulthood.
Yeah. And that's what I said. We need to stop existing and get back to living. And I didn't say stop existing and start living, because we know how to live. We've just forgotten along the way. How's life in London these days?
Well, look, life is good. I have had a month of dealing with something that I haven't told many people about in my life. And I've kind of alluded to the fact that there's a bit of change going on in the background. And I went home this weekend to attend your show with my mom. And I wanted to tell my parents this weekend because I needed their buy-in, basically. So about a month ago, I and all of my colleagues at SE Creative Studio in London were called into a room and told that, unfortunately, our parent company is no longer going to work with us, and work, and the company is being closed and we're all being made redundant.
Wow.
I suppose the first thing I had to think of as a life coach was like, okay, wowee. This is usually me sitting on the other side of this and talking somebody through the next steps of their life. And suddenly spotlight's on me. And it was hard, very hard to digest immediately, because from my perspective, I'm doing the best work of my career, and the projects that we work on in my company are very successful, including Dish. So it was very difficult to understand how this was possible. And so it's grief. It's yes. Grief. It's grief and the stages of grief. And this is the second time in my life that I've lost my job. I lost my job on 98 FM in 2012. That was devastating. Because that was my dream job. And you know what? I'm kind of back around that place in my life. Like it's taken me over 10 years to get here, but I'm back at like dream job status. So I'm like, what universe?
I love the way, like the amount of work you did on being let go from 98 FM and the place that it brought you to, like that rock bottom. I'm actually going to link our episode of The Good Glow, the very first one we did together, all about this in the show notes if people haven't heard it. The universe has a funny way of coming back around and going, hiya, how are you going to deal with it this time? And look at the difference in you. The difference. Okay, so unexpected change is coming along, and it happens to people all the time. I know so many people who've been made redundant recently. What are you going to do about it?
Well, look, I haven't said anything to most people in my life, and that was a privilege that I afforded myself. And it really allowed me to settle myself in this new normal. So I immediately was quite upset about it. And so for the first week, I was really sad. I felt really rejected. And then I got angry. Like what more do you want from me?
Yes.
Like we're doing such great work. It's fantastic. We're flying high. Like, come on. Like, well, how can you close the door on this?
So Dish is still going to continue.
Yes. But, you know, all of us may not continue to work on it, including myself, you know? And so I was angry because I felt that I shouldn't be put in this position. Like, what? How can I? I'm 43, I'm nearly 44. Like, what? And then I'm angry also on behalf of like me and my mortgage and my mom. You know, I'm just like, no, this is not fair. And then I got to a stage of acceptance.
Mm.
So it's taken me a month and it's been very up and down because all the good thing about this is the whole lot of us are being made redundant. Sometimes in companies, it's a certain few people or it's, you know, you have to reapply for your job and bullshit like that. This is good. So we're all in this together. Like the ship is sinking in the best possible way. But at the same time, people process things differently. So I like shed a tear on the day that it was announced because that's just where I am in terms of my emotions. But a lot of people were stone cold Steve Austin's about the whole thing and said nothing.
Can I just also say though, it's so much easier on your ego when you're all let go.
100%. I would be really, really struggling now if there was some of us going and some of us not.
Yeah.
I really would.
So you've had this unexpected change that you didn't ask for. You've got great faith in the universe. So at least you have that. And, you know, a rejection is, what do we always say?
A redirection.
A redirection. So how do you trust the process now?
Well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to coach myself through it. And standing witness in observation of myself in this process, you know, because guess what? Like, I know that I say that the universe has your back and I say that rejection is protection and, you know, I'm being redirected and this is my opportunity to do something completely different. My hand is being forced. But boy, oh boy, is it hard in those dark moments to actually believe that. So I didn't want to tell my parents because my dad lost his job a couple of times when we were younger. And I know it really devastated my folks, my mum, it just brought a lot of stress to the household. And so I was just like, oh God, I think maybe I'll just wait until after Christmas or until I've started networking and talking to people. And maybe if I have some prospects of work, then I can go back to mum and go, so been made redundant, but here's what I'm going to do next. And then I was going home this weekend and I was going to see your show with my mom. And I was like, I can't keep it from her. Like me and her are really good pals these days and I needed to be honest with her. So I sat down on Saturday evening with the two of them. We were having dinner and I said, listen, I have something to tell you. And I told the two of them and they were rock solid. My mom was literally like, Claire, what an opportunity this is. You're going to get a package. You're going to get a lump sum of money and you're going to go out there and you're going to network and you're going to see what's next. Because guess what? This is what your next step in life is. You're going to meet new people. You don't know who you're going to meet, what you're going to end up doing. Go out in a high with Dish. You've had a great run. You're really respected over in London. You go, girl.
Yes. Come here. Do you know what it is coming up for me here? So do you remember I said hanging up your coat is not, first of all, failure. It's not quitting. It's not the end of something. Hanging up your coat is simply a connection to the next part of your day. This is a connection to the next part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay that you don't have the answers right now.
Yeah.
You don't need, we're always looking for the answers. We're always looking, oh, of course, we want safety. We want security. That's the way we've been trained to live. But you've got a roof over your head. You're going to be just fine. And you have your tribe. So when Jamie was diagnosed with MS, he didn't tell anybody except for who he had to tell. And we kept this secret. Whoa. That was making us sicker, I would say. Mm. The reason Jamie didn't tell anybody was because he was the leader of the tribe. He was the CEO of the radio station that we all worked for. We're all like family. So he didn't want to be vulnerable, to upset the tribe. He didn't want to be rejected from the tribe. But actually, 10 years later, when he got to the place where he could share, he was embraced by the tribe and everyone wrapped their arms around him and helped carry him. I have a friend who's going through a tough time at the moment. She came to my show. yesterday, and I could see physically in her the weight of the world on her shoulders. I was looking at her all night across the room at our after party. And I rang her today and I was like, I know that you're going through so much right now. It's okay. It's okay that you are. You're going to come through it. But in the meantime, you don't have to show, because she said, oh, I'm just worried that, you know, people were noticing and I wasn't able to give last night. I was like, you don't have to show up and give all the time. You don't have to be the most sparkliest, amazing person in the room all the time. It's okay for you not to be okay right now because we have your back and we're going to get you through it. And you will sparkle again. You will shine again. But it's okay not to have to do it all the time. You know, that's what life is all about. So the fact that you were able, like, that's growth, Claire, going home to your mum. And you worry about worrying people, but you also have to worry about yourself, and you need them to lighten your load a little bit for you right now, all of us. And it's so brave of you to tell this story and to walk down this path, and you will survive, and you're going to have so much to share with people on the other side of it.
Definitely. And I wanted to share this as well today. Thanks, by the way. That was a great pep talk. I wanted to share this today because that's what we do around here. We share stuff that we're going through in the hopes that anybody out there who's going through something similar will say, oh my God, it's so good to hear that I'm not the only one. And for your friend in the corner of the party last night, Riyadh, who was one of your guests, actually said that when he started showing up to events and places as himself and letting go of what other people's expectations were of him, he said the ease with which he moved from place to place and activity to activity was incredible. You know, you walk into a room and you're like, I don't have any responsibilities to anybody in here. And it's been like that for me and everybody who I work with. Suddenly your work, which is like bringing you to a point sometimes of stress, anxiety, overwhelm, and workaholism, suddenly it's gone.
Mm.
It's like, okay, this is important. I want to continue to make these projects what they need to be until I hand back the keys. But actually, the perspective that you're given, it's like when you get a diagnosis, someone around you gets ill. You just sit back and you say, like Jamie, you sit back and you go, whoa, whoa, what's important here? And moreover, who's important?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just saying Dish will never be the same again. Just for the record.
I must say that Dish has a huge place in my heart. And I know so many of you listen to her. She's a her. So many listen to her as well and love her. And I'm going to be making it until March, April time. So, but you know what? At the same time, I want to go out on a high. Dish is doing as good as we could have ever imagined it would do. So going out with massive success behind it is probably the best time to walk away.
Wow. I love Jerry. We need a bell for the two of us today. Ring that bell for us, Claire Solon.
I feel like I'm at the stock exchange.
This, you know, is crazy.
Someone floats their company.
Yeah.
I'm floating myself, baby girl. Here she goes. She's going public.
Where's the bell?
This bell, I know, I'm aware this bell is like the biggest letdown of all time.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Whee!
It's from India, okay? It's ancient.
Can I tell you that my brother had me in stitches today, right? I'm sure he won't mind me telling this story. When you were talking about the expectations of other people, we're always afraid of letting other people down or living within society's expectations of us. So Mick bought a house. Mick has worked really hard and his gorgeous wife, Kira. one of my best friends. They've worked so hard and they have waited and waited and waited and waited for their house. A couple of weeks ago, they got a phone call to say they were getting the key. Say it was a Wednesday. They were getting the keys today. And Mick said, Mick started making phone calls. I'm moving in tonight. I was talking to Mick today. He still hasn't gotten his keys. But he said, do you know what is so funny? The amount of people that are so were so freaked out and are so freaked out about me moving into my house on the day that I get my keys, because it's not a brand new house. He said, it's freaking so many people out there. Like, this is a crazy thing to do. I think you're insane. How could you just move into a house? How could you get the keys at 1 o'clock and move in that day with your whole family? He's like, there is so many people around him. I was like, Mick, I'm one of those people. I was like, is he going to move into that house? He hasn't even run the taps. He hasn't put the heating on for 3 days. But and I was like, it's freaking me out that you're doing it. And he's laughing. He's one of the freest, most, he's mad. But he's like, I can't believe how me doing something that probably 99% of the world wouldn't do, how much it has unnerved everybody around him.
I heard something, right? I want to go back to this, but I heard something and I think it's relevant. I have a problem with somebody, right? I say that. Or I have somebody else's problem with somebody. So you tell me, I tell you, I don't like Sinead, right? That's my problem with Sinead. But I come along to you and I meet you for coffee and we're going, yeah, how's it going? Yeah. And you go to me, do you know that thing about, you know Sinead, right? And you give me your opinion on Sinead and I walk away from that coffee with your opinion of Sinead. And then when the next person asks me about Sinead, I give them your opinion, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of similar with Mick. Like everybody's talking around. This is Mick has been waiting for this freedom. Going in there and I'm shutting the door and I'm cracking a beer and everyone is like, hold on a second. You need to go with those carpets industrially cleaned. You need to run the taps. You need to turn the heating on. You can't. You have to get the place cleaned.
Everyone's like, how can you move into a house without a couch? He's like, the amount of people that are so freaked out that I don't have a couch. And I was like, you need to take my couch. I have a couch in the playroom. You can take that couch and put... He's like, I don't want your couch. I want my own couch. I was like... Where are you going to sit?
Mick is a bit of me, I must say. I'd be in that gaff, sitting on the floor eating fish and chips.
Do you know what Mick also said, which is really interesting? I played a podcast video at the show last night. So I had people in it like, so it was all the kind of snippets of the good glow. So I had like Wim Hof, Ryan Holiday, Martha Beck, Hal Elrod, and Mick was like, aren't all of their in backgrounds very interesting? I had Pippa O'Connor, her background is like beautiful aesthetic house. Then we go to Ryan Holiday, author of A Stoic Life. There's 500 books behind him. Mm-hmm. Then we go to Wim Hof. Wim Hof is sitting on an old couch in his shorts.
Yeah.
And Mick is like, isn't it so funny? He's like, I could see myself in Wim Hof a little bit there. Because exactly what you're saying, like other people's business, like I wouldn't move into a house, you know, the day I get the keys. And it's mad that but Mick doing that is making everyone feel really uncomfortable.
And it shows you that we are too invested. First of all, we're mad triggered and we all need therapy. But second of all, we are way too invested in each other's story and each other's experience of life.
Yeah. And that's probably the other side of the tribe though, right?
Yes.
Like we're a tribe. We get on so well. We can be so honest with each other. And especially do like the head of the family. He's like, Jesus Christ, you can't move in. You don't have a couch. You don't have the thing painted. Like, are you mad?
I personally say more power to him. Like the adventures and particularly for the kids. But imagine moving into an empty shell of a house. You know, it's just like, wow, what an adventure. And it's talk about it. A fresh start, that is the epitome of a fresh start.
Well, this is the podcast that guarantees plenty of laughs and lovely white smiles with thanks to our favourite toothpaste brand and product, Colgate Max White Ultra. We love this partnership because we have seen the results, and Colgate Max White Ultra really does whiten your teeth in just 3 days. Give us your reason to smile, Soul Sister.
Okay, I will. Well, you may remember a potentially last season, I was talking about being single and reading about a journalist who went out on the streets with little like business cards and handed them to attractive potential suitors. Mm. Now, we talked about it. You thought it was mad, and part of me thought it was mad as well. But sure, didn't I get talking to my dating coach, Emer Draper from Kindling Dating? And she went away, and I am the thinker, right? I am the thinker in this, in the pontificator in this relationship with me and Emer. She is the doer. The other day I met her and she said, I've got a gift for you. And I was like, oh, go on. She pulls out these little cards.
Love them.
On the front, it says Kindling Curiosity. And on the back, it says, I think you're cute and I'm curious. Call me or email me. She's given me about 20 of them. That's intimidating. But I promise, a Soul Sister pinky swear, that I will go out over the Christmas period. So between now and the new year, between now and my 44th birthday, which is the 4th of January, and I will hand a few of these out and see what happens.
Oh my God. Can we film this?
Yes.
Well, a huge thank you for that. Fabulous reason to smile. Hopefully those cards will give you many more reasons to smile in your life. Okay, so Colgate Max White Ultra is available in stores nationwide. The perfect stocking filler this season. Lovely white smiles for New Year's Eve, so we can welcome 2025 in the right way. Let's get into recommends. Very excited to know what you're going to recommend this week.
Well, 1.5 things from me this week. Firstly, Niamh Coffey, who's a Soul Sister, who's a physio out in...
Greystones,
yes. Niamh very kindly came yesterday to our lunch because she came to India with us. So before we went to see your show, she came armed with ancient wisdom green tree Palo Santo sticks. They are delicious, and I've been lighting them just here while we've been recording, and I just wanted to say they're probably the best I've ever had.
So what do they do?
So Palo Santo is they are used for kind of like smudging or for ritual. Have you ever lit?
Yeah,
it's absolutely gorgeous. The smell is so... It says it welcomes in creativity, love, and good fortune into your space.
Oh my God, they are a nice present.
I know. She got one for me and one for Caroline. So thank you so much for that. But I really recommend them. They, as I said, they are the best I've had. So that is my first recommendation. My second one was, I every so often dip into the Diary of a CEO just to see what's going on. Not a massive fan of Stephen, but boy, oh boy, does he get great guests. And this one, girls, I think is one of the best I've ever listened to. Estrogen expert, birth control changes who you are. Would you still love them if you came off it? Estrogen makes you more attractive. Now that's just the Diary of a CEO, mad title for this episode. But this is Dr. Sarah Hill, who is an evolutionary social psychologist, and she works with women on their health and their hormones. Now, you know, we talk about hormones a lot around here, but this is fascinating. This is absolutely fascinating. It's all about the patriarchy, all about why women don't want to date down. They only ever want to date up. It's all about how our preferences for sexual partners change during our cycle, and all about what hormones do for us and what birth control can do to us. I spent many, many years on birth control, so it is actually quite, what would you say, scary to hear what she has to say, but it's brilliant. Really good listen. She's excellent. Take a listen.
Love them both. Okay, so if you don't mind, I'd like to recommend something from The Good Glow.
Please.
So I went off and I got my meditation certification from Deepak Chopra this year. I did his course, absolutely loved it. And today we are launching our meditation candles. So it's a really good idea. So the idea is there's three different meditation candles, the Calm, Good Morning, and Wonder Woman. And when you open the box and take the candle out, there's a little card in the box with a QR code. And when you scan the QR code, it brings you to a meditation that I've created. You light your candle, listen to the meditation. There's three different candles, three different vibes. And this is such a gorgeous present for your loved ones. So Good Morning, which is about, you know, waking up, starting the day right. We've got the Calm, which is a beautiful, soothing, calming meditation. And Wonder Woman, which is our affirmation candle. So check them out. They're on our website, thegoodglow.ie.
Oh my God, that's a great idea. I think I might leave us with a sentiment that Riyadh shared at your show last night. And I don't even know if he did this intentionally, but it's what I caught from what he was saying. So let me see if I can share it. He was saying, and this is something that we have been talking about and working through lately on the podcast, just peeling it back to basics and, you know, being your most natural and authentic self. He said, be and see. So instead of doing, why don't you be and then you'll see?
Ooh, I love that.
You know? So just like you say, hang up your coat, make a pact to say to yourself and your family, we're going to have a really restful Christmas, and just see how the energy around you changes. You simply be.
I love that. And it's like exactly what I was saying to you earlier. You don't have to have all the answers all of the time. I think we could kill ourselves looking for the answers sometimes in terms of stress and overwhelm and worry and fear. It's okay not to have the answers sometimes. Like, you have months left in your role. Mm-hmm. So be and see. That's really good.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in, and I will see you next week, Soul Sister.
See you then.